When I've preached on this passage from Romans chapter 5, I used to orbit around the beginning of the reading, where Paul the Apostle writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." One of the advantages to recording your sermons week in and week out for years and years and years is that you can go back in time and look at what you preached 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago and see how you handled this passage the last times you preached it. And I've preached it 4 times since 1999, and it's been interesting to review how I've dealt with the passage each time, and every time I seem to have a slightly different take, and that's true today as well. Instead of focusing on the beginning of the passage, I'm going to focus towards the middle and the end. You see, last week I dealt with faith. Last week I dealt with faith, and especially with where our faith is seated. It is seated, it is focused within Christ Jesus Himself, within His words, within His proclamation, within His death and resurrection, within His life and ministry, within His presence with us today. Our faith is focused in on Jesus and what Jesus calls us to do and how Jesus calls us to live and the message that Jesus proclaimed that we are called to live and to be today. That phrase, "what would Jesus do," comes to mind yet again. The calling we have is to live as the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Jesus Christ in a broken and hurting world. And that's what it means to live with our faith in Jesus Christ, believing Jesus, believing in Jesus, faithing in Jesus. When we do that, what happens? When we live a life of faith, what happens? I wish it was all a rose garden. I wish it was always easy. But it's not. It's not always easy. In fact, usually a life of faith is tough, hard, difficult, painful. It can be unexpectedly painful. Just like any life can be an accumulation of good things and bad things. When we live by faith, when we trust in God, when we place our life in Christ Jesus, we are running the risk of opposition, persecution, tribulation, trial, oppression. That's what Paul is talking about today in the letter to the Romans. When he writes, "Yes, we are called to boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." And so many want to stop right there with boasting in the hope of sharing in the glory of God, that God's nature is going to infuse us and change us and transform us and make us more and more into the image of Jesus. And many Christians want to stop there, want to roost there, don't want to do anything more than that. I myself have been guilty in the past of wanting to get to that glory of God and then stopping. When the reality of life doesn't ever seem to stop there. And Paul knew it. And not only that, verse 3, but we also boast not just in the glory of having the life of Christ within us, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. I would have loved it if Paul had never bothered to talk about suffering, about boasting in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. This is one of those sequences that we have many times in Paul. Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. What does he mean by saying suffering? The word here means quite literally tribulation, trial, pain, anguish, oppression, opposition, difficulty. It means all of those things. It means what we go through on a daily basis. It means that phone call from the IRS. That phone call from the creditors. It means that news when you take your car in to have it inspected and they give you a quote for the work and then invariably they call with thing after thing after thing after thing additionally wrong. Usually when you figure it out, it's 2 to 3 times the original quote. Isn't it amazing how that always seems to happen when you take your car in for work? Those are just tiny little examples. It's going to the doctor and hearing the diagnosis that you didn't want to hear, or hearing the prognosis that strikes fear in the heart. I can remember my first communion Sunday after getting out of seminary. I had been appointed back in the North Texas Conference to little old Celeste's Kingston and White Rock United Methodist Churches in Hunt County, out in the middle of nowhere. And I had just finished the service on the first Sunday of July in 1992 at the White Rock Church and was driving from the White Rock Church to the Celeste Church to do the service there. And to cut off some time and to get there a little bit quicker, I decided to take the Farm to Market Road. And it was a windy road that made its way through amongst the fields from White Rock Community to Celeste. And behind me, following me rather closely, were some church members from the Celeste Church, because they knew if they were to get there right after me, at least they wouldn't be late. And so I'm taking these roads that were marked at about 25 miles per hour at, 40, 45 miles per hour. Nobody on the roads on Sunday morning at that hour. And I curve around a corner, and there in front of me is a cow. And in my mind's eye, to this day, 18 years later, I see this cow looking at me. It's like a snapshot, a freeze frame of this cow with leaves and grass hanging out its mouth, looking at me like, uh-oh. And then the next freeze frame is of this cow having bounced off the hood of my car with feet in air coming for me. And then the next freeze frame is me laying in the grass, looking up at my church members, looking down at me, asking, "Are you okay?" And they told me what happened. They said, "I hit the cow flipped, bounced off the hood of the car, and then something happened to cause this cow to turn sideways and land on the passenger side where no one was sitting, missing me by inches." And of course, the questions were, "Where do you want the meat?" And I ate on that cow for quite a while. "And where do you want the Hulk that was your car delivered?" Because it was a mess. Thankfully, my mother was my insurance agent, and she recorded this as an uninsured motorist. Well, I mean, come on. And I got a new car out of it, which I was very thankful for, because I wouldn't have been able to afford it otherwise. But nevertheless, I got to the church there at Celeste, maybe about 10 minutes late for the service to start now, and I'm still somewhat shaken. And I go into the bathroom to kind of get myself together, and somebody comes and knocks on the door. "Preacher? Preacher, you don't have to preach today if you don't want to. You just hit a cow." "I know, I just hit a cow. But I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach, and we're going to have communion. There's no way," I remember this is what I said, "there's no way I'm going to let this interrupt or stop our service or this calling that I have and that we have to witness to the love of God. There's no way that this adversity, that this tribulation, that this trial, that this accident is going to get in the way of this message or this service in this church." So I suppose it's somewhat providential that today I have this renewed sinus infection. I was thinking to myself, maybe I ought to find somebody else to do the message. And then I realized sometimes I enjoy my services better when I'm not well. Yes, it is true. Suffering produces endurance. The word endurance means staying power, tenacity, the stick-to-itiveness, the refusal to say no, never say die. Nah, it's not going to stop me. Yes, we're going forward. This tenacity, this endurance can be produced by encountering the negative, being confronted with opposition. You're not going to let it control you. As tough as it was, James, Paula, when you came down with that diagnosis, the one thing I heard from both of you was a continued statement of faith. God loved you. God loves you now. God loves you and has proclaimed God's love for you through your family and your friends, and you knew it, and you were going to trust in that and trust in those doctors. And God has worked a miracle. You're right here still today. That is true. When we listen and respond to adversity with faith, it toughens us, it strengthens us, it enables endurance within us. Continuing, endurance produces character. Well, some people would say that it produces some strange characters when it produced me. We all have those examples. But here the word means value, worth, genuine nature, true, fundamental character. I've told a story about my year as the pastor of the First Methodist Church of Hell. It was Blue Ridge, Texas. And I had made the terrible mistake of receiving into membership an African-American couple. Terrible mistake, because that happened to be the church of the associate grand master of the Ku Klux Klan for Collin County. And the phone calls started immediately, the threats. And then that Tuesday night, sitting in my study in the parsonage, and the sheriff, deputy sheriff of Fannin County, comes in to my house's back door without knocking, tells me I have 2 minutes to get whatever I need and to get out of there, because in 3 minutes the Klan is coming through the front door. I grabbed my cat and a carrier and some clothes, and we were out the back door and leaving the town of Trenton, as in came several pickup trucks with guys in sheets to teach that blankety-blank loving, white blankety-blank, you know what, pastor a lesson. I can remember talking with the bishop on the telephone the next day, and I said, I don't want to go back to that church. I have no trouble going to Trenton so long as I've got protection. Those people there at Trenton loved me, but I don't want to go back to Blue Ridge. And the bishop said, you're going back with security. But you're going back. I don't want to go. Greg, you're going back. You've got the character and the calling to serve. And even in the face of the hatred, you're going to proclaim the message of God's love. And he was right. I went back to Blue Ridge. It helped having Dad armed to the teeth, standing back there letting them know that if they tried to make anything or try to get me or whatever, that they wouldn't make it. I went back and preached message after message for 3 months about the love of God and the call of God to love all. Yes, suffering does produce endurance, and endurance does produce character. And character truly does produce hope. And that hope, as Paul says, does not disappoint us. Hope is an important word. In fact, the most important word we're going to hear today. The Greek word is elpis. And it's not wishy-washy hope. It's not wishing. It's true, deep-seated hope. Knowing that what you are expecting, you are going to receive. Knowing that you may not be able to conceive how it's going to come about. You may not be able to anticipate how God's going to do it. But you know, nevertheless, that it's going to happen. You have no doubt that it will be. That it'll come to pass. And God will probably surprise you in how it occurs. That's hope. How am I going to make it? Listening to a friend of mine tell me, how am I going to make it? She pastors a church that can only pay a 1/3 of a salary. She works a part-time job and another part-time job and 1/3 time job as pastor of a church. She has 3 children, her husband is dead, and she says to me over the phone, Greg, how can I make it? I have 3 times the number of bills that I have money for. Hope. Hope. Truly knowing that God will indeed provide. Truly knowing that God will see you through this. And it may not be easy. In fact, it usually isn't easy. But you know that God will see you through it. That's the hope we have here today. The word means not just wishful thinking. In fact, it doesn't mean that at all. It means assured hope. It means longing with assurance. It means knowing that it will be. You may not be able to recognize it now. You certainly may not be able to anticipate it, but you know it will be. That's the hope Paul speaks of here. He says, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. We encounter God's love in many ways, especially through the family of faith, especially through our sisters and brothers who go through the crap with us. We experience God's love in the helping hands of others, in the prayers of others, in the touch of others, in the warm hug of others, in knowing that we're not alone in this. That we travel this dusty, hard road with our brothers and sisters. Indeed, we travel it with Christ who lives in them and lives in us. I can't tell you the number of times when I have gotten up on a Sunday morning and wondered, how am I going to stand up in front of my people? Because that's what you are. And preach the gospel. And then I come out here and see someone like Wanda, she's grinning, like Wanda, and know that's why. Because you're in this with me. We're in this together. We're in it with God. And God is calling us, even amidst the suffering, to allow that suffering to produce in us endurance, and that endurance to produce character, and that character to produce hope through the outpouring of the love of God. Let us, as the children of God, as the people of God, as the hands and feet of Christ, let us truly share that love, that outpouring of God's love to us and to all, and truly express the hope of knowing the presence of Christ sees us through all of the suffering, with endurance, generating character for hope. It's amazing and yet not surprising how the music we sing so beautifully integrates with the message, and that's especially true today with Hope of the World, number 178 in our hymnals, hear these words before we sing them. Hope of the world, thou Christ of great compassion, speak to our fearful hearts by conflict rent. Save us, thy people, from consuming passion, who by our own false hopes and aims are spent. Hope of the world, afoot on dusty highways, showing to wandering souls the path of life, walk thou beside us, lest the tempting byways lure us away from thee to endless night. Hope of the world, O Christ, o'er death victorious, who by this sign didst conquer grief and pain, we would be faithful to thy gospel glorious. Thou art our Lord, thou dost forever reign. My friends, our hope is in Christ, in the love of God proclaimed through him, and in the calling we have truly to be witnesses to the love of God to all.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.